The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I mentioned Donald Trump will kick things off there. Shona Murray, the Europe correspondent with Euronews, is with me. Shona, we heard it in the news headlines there, the threat of 50% tariffs back on the table from the 1st of June. What more can you tell us?
That's right. That came as a bit of a shock here today because Mara Sefcovic, the EU Trade Commissioner, is due to speak to Jemison Greer, his counterpart in the US today, in half an hour. But that call had been arranged on Monday. So it's, you know, so the question is, did Jemison Greer know that Donald Trump was going to write this message on Truth Social announcing 50% tariffs? He did so at 7 o'clock this morning. So what happened in the interim few days? I interviewed Sefcovic on Tuesday and obviously asked him about the trade negotiations. He said there was sort of slow progress, but what he did say was that the EU was very clear with the US that up for nothing in relation to VAT or food safety standards were up for negotiation. That's something that the US has been very critical of the EU about. And also that, you know, they, in relation to tech regulations, that also wasn't up for negotiation. And these are the areas that the US has really been pushing the EU on. So it is apparent now that the United States is either trying to give a real big push to the EU by scaring it with the 50% tariffs, because we're midway through the 90-day suspension period.
So what do you suspect is going to be the predominant view then, given that, in Brussels and Frankfurt and Strasbourg and elsewhere? Because, you know, we had the big threat of tariffs, and then there was the rollback after the bond market wobble. There was another bond market wobble yesterday on foot of this tax cut announcement from the Trump administration as well, and the tax bill he hopes to get through Congress. I mean, do you suspect that, I mean, some will just maybe shrug their shoulders at this and think, listen, don't. No, yes, there's a serious threat, but let's not get our knickers in a twist too quickly.
I think, well, definitely they'll think the latter there, like not to kind of freak out a bit. I mean, the thing is, they're slightly caught off guard because they did. That there was encouraging signs because he did that deal with Chinese goods, reducing tariffs from 145% to 30%. And then the Chinese did likewise, 125% to 10%. Then he also did the deal with the UK. And obviously the UK is not comparable to the EU or China in terms of markets. But with the China thing, it looked like he was indeed seeking to get a deal. And I'd say this is what the same thing he's doing now by scaring the EU, which is incredibly methodical when it comes to EU trade deals, which they often take several years to do. And they're very specific in relation to regulatory controls and in terms of the fact that those standards are, you know, scientifically based and so on. And so they won't go down well with member states. So the EU just simply can't do a trade deal in a short amount of time. The EU had been offering to buy more US products like soybeans, artillery, you know, from the defense industry, and also to buy LNG goods and work together when it comes to countering China. And these are proposals that the EU had sent to the United States. And it looked like things might be on a great track because Ursula von der Leyen met with J.D. Vance in Rome, you know, at Pope Leo's, inauguration. Is that,
his elevation to high office.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so it looked like things were going well. But I think you're right. I think what they'll do is they'll just say, look, we'll have to just sit back here and see what is actually going to happen. Because this 50% is so stratospheric, you know, it's insane.
It is, and I guess even though you know you make the point nobody's going to freak out, it is maybe a little dose of reality for people who hoped that the threat of tariffs was kind of quietly going to go away after the end of the 90 days. You know, that certainly was the, well, if not the hope, it was certainly the desire, I know.
They'll not go away, but that it will be sorted out with logic, potentially. But then we also know that the US has rejected the sort of the EU offer of the 0% tariffs, and it's rejected the EU's position when it comes to tech regulations, and trying to explain that, you know, Trump's argument is that there's a massive trade deficit with the EU, when in fact the EU's position is it's actually only 50 billion euros, because when you take into account services as well as goods, and to close up the gap in the 50 billion euros, the EU's position is that could be fairly simple. But as we know, the Trump team, they want more access to EU markets. And if you look at the message from Donald Trump today, he said the EU's primary purpose is to destroy the United States through trade.
Well, that's so true. That's well known.
Yeah, exactly. It's all written down. But so therefore, you know, if it's a very much a confrontation. It's not working with allies. There's no respect there from the Trump administration. And then, you know, the Trade Commissioner Šefčovič hasn't spoken to Peter Navarro, aka Ron Varro, you know, who's really the person in charge with Donald Trump. So no matter what he was hearing from Jameson Greer or Howard Lutnick, he could never actually rely that what they were telling him was ever going to materialise, because it's really down to the whimsical nature of Donald Trump.
All right. Well, listen, Regina Doherty's with us as well, the Fine Gael MEP for Dublin. Regina, were you caught on the hop by this as well?
Well, I think it certainly came as a surprise today, but actually we probably shouldn't be surprised at anything President Trump does. And it's kind of hard to see it being anything but a negotiating tactic, if that's what you can call it. But I think what's really important from the EU perspective is that we continue to act like the adult in the room, continue to work, you know, methodically, pragmatically to try and get zero for zero tariffs as a positive outcome. But actually, I think Sean is right. From my mind, this is more about the DSA, the DMA, our GDPR legislation, our safety standards. They don't like the rules that we have that upholds, you know, the relationship and the trading relationships that we have with other parts of the world. But the EU is not going to break its rules anytime soon, you know, just because Donald Trump wants to throw his toys out of the pram. We know from the trade surplus on goods and services isn't, you know, as Donald Trump's reality would be. We also know we don't have a problem with VAT because there's equivalent VAT taxes or sales taxes in America. And I think a lot of this is kind of just spurious noise that people who don't necessarily understand the EU in America would believe from President Trump. But ultimately, the negotiation is going to happen at the table. Or, you know, I have no doubt whatsoever that the EU are not going to be bullied and are not going to be swayed by tweets and by threats. We'll continue over the next couple of weeks to try and get, from Mara Sechkovic's position, to try and get a pragmatic outcome. But if not, we obviously do have tools within our kit, you know, that will be used to respond. Mm. And in the background, what we do have to acknowledge, Kieran, is that the EU isn't competitive. Our Draghi and Letta reports have told us a lot of the reasons that we need to do to make ourselves competitive. We need to internally, you know, deepen our internal markets, break down barriers, cut out the bureaucracy that we have. We need to try and lead with WTO reforms. We have an international problem with dispute settlements. We need to fix that. But we need to also modernise the EU's trade networks. And that includes Mexico, Indonesia, Southeast Asia and South America. Like the deal that we struck with the EU or the UK this week strengthens the trade relationships. The minerals deals that we did with Greenland. We need to continue to broaden our horizons whilst trying to minimise any damage
I wager lots of people would be in agreement with you. This is a negotiating tactic. If ultimately he were to impose it by way of firing a shot across the bows of the European Union, it would pose difficulties for us on this island as well, given he has struck a deal with, you know, the UK. And like it or not, that does include six counties on this island.
It definitely would cause a difficulty. And I think people did think that, you know, the moves that came from the Chinese deal and the UK deal were going to set a tone. I think the new baseline had been expected to be 10%. This is a surprise today, but I genuinely believe this is as a result of us not being willing to reduce our product and our safety standards, to reduce our agricultural things that we pride ourselves on. He has a real problem with GDPR fines. But sorry, if companies didn't breach the laws, then they wouldn't get fined. So that's not a tax. It's the rules that we have to protect our citizens, you know, our mental health, our trading relationships, our standards. They're something that we hold high. And nobody else in the world has a problem with the standards that the EU set. But I really believe that he wants to reduce our standards, you know, to bring everything down. And that's not something the EU are going to do. But I really do firmly believe the EU have acted responsibly in the last number of months. They have acted like the adult in the room. We didn't respond to his big announcement day, you know, immediately. We were pragmatic. We tried to bring things back to the table. We're at the table at the moment. I think we'll continue to do that despite the tweet today, you know, and the threat, obviously, of the 50%. But have no doubt, you know, if that 50% comes to a reality, the ramifications for global economics is enormous. He knows that. We know that. Nobody wants that.
All right. On that note, Regina Doherty, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin. Seán O'Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Thank you both very much for joining us. Joe Lynham is with me now. Of course, our business editor here in News Talk and the presenter of Breakfast Business. Joe, we had this news about an hour before we came on air that Donald Trump was threatening 50% tariffs again from the 1st of June on EU goods being exported into the United States. How seriously do you take that threat?
Well, if you were to go through the Trump tactics over the past, let's say, 2 months since the famous Liberation Day event on April 2nd, it is threaten, escalate, retaliate, mediate, climb down, followed by declaration of victory. So if you follow that playbook, we are at the escalate phase at the moment, and we expect that the European Union will remain fairly cool-headed in this, and they will try to mediate. And then when it comes to June 1st, which, by the way, is just over a week, I expect that Trump will say something along the lines of, OK, they have come to the table with quasi-bended knee, and as a result, we're going to pause them while those talks continue. But it is worrying markets, as you know, they're down. Now, they didn't finish the day as low as they were 2 hours ago when they crashed like a stone when this Truth Social post. But big big European exporters were quite nervous. So if you're a BMW or your Daimler Benz or Audi or one of those guys, you're a bit nervous because you're big selling big ticket items in the United States, which could be 50% more expensive.
Yeah, because I was going to ask about the business community reaction. The political reaction, I suspect you're bang on. They've been through this. They know the playbook at this stage, and the unpredictability is becoming slightly predictable. What we've had for the last 3 months, though, is this paralysis from kind of big international firms. They don't want to make any decision one way or the other because they don't know what happens next. This is just going to reaffirm that, isn't it?
You're absolutely spot on. Companies are like rabbits in the headlights. They don't know what to plan, what sort of eventuality they will have, because companies need years to plan, especially if they're building a giant factory, whether that's making cars or making pharmaceutical products or iPhones. And as you also know, this afternoon, Trump has threatened a 25% tariff across the board on Apple if they don't make all the iPhones in America that they sell in America, because Apple is shifting its production away from China a little bit and towards India, which is still has some sort of tariff barriers, but it would be still cheaper for Apple to make their iPhones in India and export them to the United States than to build all those factories in the United States and sell them. Also, the iPhone would soar in price to just under $4,000 per unit, and that's pretty pricey. So, yeah, the companies don't know what to do. So they can't forward plan. My own gut instinct is quite a few companies that need years to plan might announce a totemic, some sort of tokenistic venture in the United States. They may even cut ground. They may even sign a lease or something like that. But I'm not sure that they'll absolutely build a factory in the next 3.5 years. I think they might decide to sit it out.
Are you worried, though, Joe? Are people in the business community worried, the people you speak to, that the consequence for this from a business point of view, from a growth point of view, we'll actually see in a few years' time, that the decisions that should be made now, it's fine to kind of say, listen, nothing detrimental is happening, they're just not making any decision. But actually, by not making any decision, something detrimental happens in 3, 4, 5 years' time when we should be seeing those new factories open.
Yeah, it's kind of like a shark. It needs to keep moving to stay alive. So if you don't invest, and if you say, do you know what, that $1 billion factory that I was thinking of building, I'm going to sit on my hands for that. That means the construction companies, the planners, the architects, the clever people involved in building that $1 billion factory won't get the business that they will expect. They may then say, well, you know, we have to lay off people because we're not getting that business that we expected and were promised. And everything shuts down in terms of forward planning. And that does manifest itself in lower profits and expectations and potentially even job losses. Who knows how long it'll take, but a tanker takes a while to stop and turn around.
It does. Listen, plenty to talk about at least, Joe. So you and I won't be out of a job anytime soon, I hope. Joe Lydham, News Talk Business Editor and presenter of Breakfast Business.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.